You're listening to Hidden Mysteries Radio, discussing the topics no one else dares to. Everybody to this October 14th, 2015, Wednesday night episode of Hidden Mysteries Radio. How you doing, Ghost?
I'm doing fine. Are you over the flu bug yet?
Yeah, maybe so. It was a really odd one. And apparently it's going around. I haven't seen anything on the news about it. Not that I watch the news a lot, but I haven't seen anything about it.
You don't think it was Satan's armies taking people out?
I blame the Jews. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I stumped my toe. They must have done it, right? But, I had a family member 100 miles north of here had the same thing, and it was really kind of bad. And then you think you're getting over it. You know, wake up feeling good one morning, and then after a couple hours, it comes back. But I didn't want to come over here and give that to you. So we missed a week of radio.
We're back tonight, though.
Yeah, which means we missed two shows. We've been doing this for nearly a year now.
And tonight we're going to go undercover.
Way under. Way under. Yeah, we are. But what I was saying is we've only missed... we haven't missed any shows. We've rescheduled one or two, but we haven't taken off any throughout this time that we've been doing this. So, well, everybody gets a vacation once a year, don't they?
Sure.
Well, we're going to be talking about Hollow Earth tonight, and this should be a real treat for everybody because I only know as much about it as probably most of the listeners do, you know, just from maybe watching a History Channel pseudo documentary about it or something like, you know, and I've read about Admiral Byrd going there and all that, but Ghost really knows a lot about this. A lot of the experts that have written books on it, have known them, talked to them, and you, you're the only publisher of one of the best books on the topic. Is that right?
Well, I am a publisher of several books on the topic, but the best book on the topic, we're the only distributor in the United States for, and you can only buy it from us.
Yeah.
It was written by a gentleman in South Africa.
Oh, yeah?
Even though he published it over here.
Oh, okay. Well,
all the copies of that are available are right here.
Great, great. What's the name of it?
Called Hollow Planets.
Okay, and you're going to post that link to that for if
sure.
people are interested.
It's an all-encompassing book of why all planets are probably hollow.
Right. Okay, cool. So it's
scientific.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So it comes at it from a scientific angle rather than this guy said
right,
he went there type thing.
This rumor or this old theory or this mythology.
Right. Well, before we get into the topic, let's get rid of a little old business and give a preview of what's coming up on the Friday show. And then we'll have all that out of the way. Our listeners might be interested to know I've called into the viral vigilante show on Renegade Broadcasting 2 weeks in a row, and the host says that he's going to have me on for a full show as a guest in the near future. That may happen Monday. The show's on Mondays. But if you want to hear me over there on those shows, just go to Renegade. I believe it's renegadebroadcasting.com, but if not, you can just Google Renegade Broadcasting and either click on the picture of a host that says Pat or click on the link to the show Viral Vigilante, and I'm on the last two shows. I believe the title of the one from Monday night was, Everything White Genocide, something like that. Anyway, it's a good show anyhow. Viral Vigilante, hosted by a guy named Pat Privilege. And I don't have his, Twitter handle memorized, but I'll post it in the post here, and I'll put a link to the two shows that I was on if anybody wants to listen. And also, one of the things people have been looking forward to is today, an anti-white leftist social justice warrior thing named, who on Twitter is at The Baffer, who got Twitter famous last week for some pretty inflammatory stuff she said. And well, long story short, she has managed to, she wanted to come on and debate me. And I told her, okay. And I would give her a phone number to call and all this. And, she's been trying to get out of it and make it look like that I'm trying to get out of it for days now. Yesterday she started squealing about, you promised to send me the phone number. You're a liar. You don't want me on there. I said, I promised to send you the phone number the day of the show, which I said was Wednesday. Do you not know what day of the week Wednesday is? And that kind of thing. And, anyway, today I tweeted her several times in admittedly a very taunting fashion that, are you ready for the show? Are you ready for the show? And she never answered me back, and I went and checked several times, and she had been tweeting and talking to people after I sent those tweets, which means that she saw the tweets and chose not to answer them all day long. And so finally, right before I packed up and came over here, I tweeted to her, and I said, well, you know, since you I said, I've asked you all day long, are you ready for the show? And you haven't answered me, and the show's starting now, so you're out of luck. And when I get over here, I look, and she's screaming about, you're just trying to run away. And I'm like, well, no, I'm not. And the fact of the matter is, the kind of crap that she's wanting to sling around and get into with me is not really appropriate for this particular show. But I was going to go ahead and do it anyway and post it on Friday's show. But
I think she got to pay for her airtime.
Well,
I mean, they all want free speech, but they never want to pay for it.
I know. Well, she doesn't have anything to say anyway.
If they want to wag their tongue like a dog and eat, that's not our problem. We shouldn't have to pay for that.
Right. Well, but the thing is, all that she'll say, all she's got is she'll call you a racist and then insult you in some way by saying, oh, you racists always lie. I mean, she just said that to me. I just read that on Twitter a few minutes ago. So you never sent me the number. You racists always lie. Well, yeah, I didn't send the number because the number I was going to send her rings here. And somebody who, not to mention the fact that the trouble that I was going to have to go to record this thing and have it in the show, because we're not set up for that right now. We record a show and we post it. And so I was going to have to unplug a bunch of different stuff, and not that big a deal, but it's a hassle and get everything set up and having to work my whole life around her. I asked her, when are you available to do this? And she wants me to, the first time she said, well, it's going to be at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm like, yeah, you know, people have responsibilities they have to take care of during the day. And so then the only other option was do it at 9 o'clock at night. And, you know, and then another weird thing was once, she had said she wanted to come on the show and debate or whatever, I was very polite to her. And when I tried to set it up yesterday, when I would ask her specific, I said, if you're ready to come on, just email me a short bio, whatever you want me to read about, you know, to introduce you. Not any big deal. Just like when you see somebody get interviewed on the news, just send me Kate Arnsby. That's her name. Kate Arnsby is blah, 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 went to school, blah, 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 does blah, blah, whatever you want me to say, and I'll just read it that way. And I even pointed out, I said, look, you know, I said, I promise you, there's not going to be any ambush here. I'm going to be polite. You're going to get to say your piece. I'm going to get to say my piece. You might not like what I say, but I'm going to be polite. And she was, oh, you're lying. You're going to ambush me, and I'm going to come on there and be a cunt. I mean, she would say this, and then she would say, and I would say, are you ready? You know, do you really want to come on the show? And she said, dude, stop acting like you have a show. And just crap. She offered us, she said, remember me telling you about that crazy autistic girl who went and found some, goofy rating on our website off of one of those sites like statshow.com and claimed that we haven't even had 100 visitors to our website. And so she sees this, she says, you don't have any listeners. And she offered us £100 for our website. You know, just that kind of crap. But anyway, she never has anything except you're racist and your wife's getting the black dick. That's what she tells everybody.
What
wife? Right, exactly. But or your girlfriend or whatever. She says, you're just
you're always guilty of what you're accusing others of.
Oh, well, she is a big mud shark. Oh, and by the way, the Baffer, I had to look that up.
I was going
to
say, that's scatology, isn't it?
Yeah. If you look up Baffer on
Urban Dictionary,
it's a Baffer is somebody who performs rim jobs, the tonguing of the anus. And I mean, there is an alternate definition of it, which means somebody that beats a person in the face, but that's an archaic German deal. And if you look at this girl's timeline, I know she's talking about the rim jobs, but yeah, she's the one who said that if her mother ever said anything racist, she'd spit in their faces. I mean, spit in her face. And I was basically wanting to ask her, you know, what are her daddy issues? what made her hate white people so badly? How can she be such a hypocrite that she bitches and complains about past genocides, but promotes the ongoing one now by saying that she wants all of the third world to move into England, which is where she lives. But anyway, enough about her, except to say that, I'm probably going to be, if she wants to, debate me, I'll set something up for her, but I'm not going to go through all this crap with her. I'll set something up where, it's right out there online. She can click on it and do it, or she can go screw herself. And also, like I said, I'm probably going to be a guest on Renegade Broadcasting next Monday or the Monday. I don't know when. And, they have a call-in number posted right on the website. And so if she wants to, and I think it's like a 2-hour show that I'll be on. So if she wants to, if she has anything she wants to say to me and have a back and forth with me, she can sure as hell call into Renegade Broadcasting while I'm live on the air. So there you go. No excuses, Baffer. And, if you don't like it, you can baff me. Well, anyway, so Hollow Earth Ghost. What? Oh, wait. We're supposed to do a preview. On this Friday show, I'm going to talk a little bit about last weekend they had the Amber Rose Slut Walk. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit. We're going to talk about the ongoing. I know you don't know what that is, Ghost, and I don't want to explain it now. We'll go into it Friday. The listeners, most of them know what I'm talking about. We're going to discuss what's going on in Syria, how Putin is making Israel and the United States look like, idiots.
Retarded children.
Right. And we're going to talk about the rash of videotaped murders by Israeli settlers of Palestinian children.
Business as usual.
Right. And we'll talk about a few other things. We might get into a little bit about, I'm going to want to discuss, Shiksa Goddess a little bit, because she's put out a bunch of new videos recently and, some good subject matter to discuss. And there'll be other things too. I'm sure our, illustrious overlords will come up with some other stuff for me to make fun of Friday.
They live.
Yeah, they do. All right, now Ghost, Hollow Earth. The Hollow Earth theory, I guess I want, I'm not saying that disrespectfully. That's just the way it's referred to. The hollow earth theory is that the earth is not the solid mass with the giant ball of molten metal in the middle at the core, as we've been told. It's that the earth is hollow and that there is a whole ecosystem in there, right?
Yes, and this possibly that rotating ball of iron is what they call the center sun.
Okay.
It has its own sun inside there, evidently.
Yeah, well, I guess it would have to if it's going to have light, huh?
They only got light and they got
heat,
forests and lakes and oceans and everything.
Yeah, I remember as a kid reading about, was it Admiral Byrd?
Admiral Byrd supposedly went in there, flew in there.
And he saw all kinds of extinct species and all other things like that he wrote about.
Yeah, that's where he said the Foo Fighters came from.
Right, right. Now, for the Foo Fighters is what our pilots during World War II referred to. That's the term they used to refer to unidentified flying objects, flying saucers, that kind of thing. So we're not referring to the rock band.
Rock band stole my name?
Huh?
Some rock band stole my name?
Well, I don't know if they stole it or not, but yeah, they're a huge rock band from the 90s. It's Kurt Cobain of Nirvana blew his head off with a shotgun. The drummer went and started this band, the Foo Fighters, and it got as bigger than Nirvana. And not, I don't know. Ghost is
never heard of them.
Ghost is a baby boomer, so but yeah, Nirvana may have been the very biggest.
There's nothing
thing
past the Beatles.
That's what the guy in Nirvana said too, pretty much. But tell us about what you know about Hollow Earth.
Well, I know what you know. I've talked to several people that have studied into this thing. It's that one guy from South Africa, we talked to him several times.
What's his name?
Jan. I have to go look it up. Jan.
Okay, well, that's fine. I know that's always a bad question to ask, because how many titles do you have?
4,000.
Yeah, and so
at least 3,000 authors.
Right. So I mean, it wasn't quite fair to just throw that out there, but I figured maybe if you knew. But yeah, the name will be in the post and all that. But anyway,
this is Hollow Planets. We also carry the one by Admiral Byrd, his diary. In fact, we have a whole section on HiddenMysteries.com on Hollow Planet books. And some people don't believe it's a hollow planet, but a big subterranean world.
Yeah.
Either way it works, it's a hidden world that we don't see. And that's a lot of what people think that the astronauts were referring to. And they said, yes, there's extraterrestrials. No, they're not from another planet. They're from here.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, the hollow earth thing is really, it's always been kind of a big fascination in mass pop culture since we've had mass pop culture.
Well, it's been a popular thing since day one of Genesis.
Oh, I know that, but I mean, I'm talking about in the media and all that. The reason I bring that up is, I remember when I was a kid, in the 70s.
Watching Pat Boone go to the center of the earth?
No, I did watch that, yeah, but. What I was going to say was that when you say hollow earth, the first thing that comes to my mind is, when I would get home from school, one of the shows that I would, as a latchkey kid, one of the shows that I would watch was they had reruns of the old black and white Superman. Mm-hmm. And whenever it would be like near a holiday or something, when they'd play, you know, the best episodes of all the old reruns that they played, they would always play the special double episode where they had the little men from the center of the earth came out. And that was always one of my favorite episodes of that when I was a kid. You know, they had the little, like, I don't remember exactly what they were. There's something like Mole Men from the Middle of the Earth or something like that was the name of the show. And Superman had to go down into the planet and all this stuff. But it's always been a big fascination to people. And
people of the Shaver Mysteries who understand that theory, his theories, said the same thing about the hollow planet and subterranean cities.
Uh-huh.
David Lewis, who wrote the Mysteries of the Pyramid, went underground to find some of the cities, found one or two.
Right.
Al Bielek of the Philadelphia Experiment claims also that there are populations down there. One of them's called the Deros, another one's called the Taros. One being an ally to humans, the other one being an enemy to humans. You know, it's not just an isolated culture of one kind of thinking.
Yeah.
And it's been going on since, supposedly since, if you go to the Genesis story, when it's, the Satan was banished to do his thing inside the earth.
Right. And yeah. And, in,
so he crawled on his belly in the earth.
Right.
Not
and,
on it.
In Hebrew mythology,
the river Styx.
No, that's Greek.
I know, but it's almost the same.
Well, but I was going to say in Hebrew mythology, they hell, not only hell, but some form of better afterlife, depending on the sect, was in the middle of the earth. As you know, when Jesus told the parable about Lazarus. Well,
that's Christianity, though, not Judaism.
No, no, no. When Jesus told the parable of Lazarus and the rich man, he was referring to what the Jews of sects that believed in the resurrection, as they call it, you know, the afterlife, believed at the time, which was that at the center of the earth that you had hell, and there was a great gulf between it and whatever functioned as paradise in the center of the earth.
I think that's Christian thinking, because Judaism that I've studied does not believe that there's a hell.
Yeah. Well, what's now, Sheol?
I don't know exactly what Sheol is, but it was, that's Christians say that's hell.
Yeah.
Judaism said, as far as I know, never called Sheol hell.
Well, you know, a lot of the sects of Judaism didn't believe in an afterlife at all. Such right. Like the Sadducees didn't believe in an afterlife.
If you study into Abraham and Isaac and the story of that he came to meet with Rebecca's wife. And in Hebrew, it says he came from the land of the living and appeared there before her.
Yeah.
The land of the living in their theology is land of the dead to us.
Yeah. I remember watching a documentary about Judaism, and it showed what the main way that they thought of the afterlife was basically, the ones who believed in the afterlife was basically you were just some disembodied
there
spirit.
There is a theory that
around.
Caleb and Joshua and the 12 men, 12 tribes, went through the promised land,
mm-hmm.
that had the giants and the giant fruits.
Yeah.
Went into an underground area of the planet.
Yeah. I prefer to think that they went to Austria, but that's interesting too.
Well, it's just a theory they have, that because you've got the king of the north who supposedly also lives under the earth in subterranean cities.
Yeah.
That's what Hitler was looking for, was that king of the north.
Yeah. Yeah, the king of the north basically correlates to that. That's the paradigm that Tolkien was using when he wrote about the great dwarf king and the mine and all underground and all that.
That's what Rudolf, what was his name? Rourke, the Russian and Blavatsky were looking for the same king in the inner earth.
Yeah. Now, when they're looking for him, are they looking for somebody that they think is alive, or
yes.
are they looking? Okay. So they're
looking for a very Aryan looking king that's been there forever, and
right.
A lot of people equate it to Enoch. It all rolls back to the same theories over and over because their mysteries are intertwined.
Yeah.
So the truth was probably intertwined, even though the mysteries have grown into a lot of fairy tale around it.
Right. Well, tell you what, Ghost, let's take a break. And when we come back, let's get into what's in there. And
okay.
And also the theory that it's not just the earth that's hollow, but all the planets.
You want to do the dance with Eddie Dorfa, too?
What, do the what now?
The dance with Eddie Dorfa.
Oh, okay.
If you never read Eddie Dorfa, you're missing a boatload.
Well, I haven't. So you can tell us. I'll make sure and ask. You can tell us about that on the other side of the break. So, everybody, enjoy these fine commercials from these fine sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Just keeping it Texas on an RFT. Just keeping it Texas. You wanna be RadioFreeTexas.org, bringing Texas to the world.
Welcome back, everybody. Ghost, the minute we went to the break, you remembered the name of the author. Of,
oh, yes.
What's the title of the book?
Hollow Planets by John, J-A-N, Jan Lampert.
Now, when you said the name, I asked you, I said, Ghost, I know that name. Where do I know that name from? What else has he written? What else has he written?
Wrote the book on the psycho as in psycho, the crazy person, politics right. of South Africa.
Yeah, psychopolitics of South Africa, and that's a book that we talked about and referenced a lot in one of the shows that everybody says is one of their favorites that we did called, I believe the show itself was called Psychopolitics of South, either Psychopolitics of South Africa or Psychopolitics in South Africa. Anyway, if you click on our, on the link at the top left of the website where it says our past shows archived, it's one of the earlier shows.
Yes.
So, and it's a, like I said, we got a really good reaction to it. It was one of the first shows we got that had a lot of listeners
asking their refugees to come to Texas.
Right. And we're probably going to do another show on South Africa in the very near future, because of events that have been happening there since we did that show. And I have, several very good, friends from South Africa, you know, online friends on social media who have been giving me stuff to look at. So
they don't like their government that is getting run from Tel Aviv.
No. What weird thing about it is that is who caused the current regime to be in power, but it
caused everything,
but it bit, it's bit them in the ass a lot lately. The, South African government, has gone against them on, you know, a lot of stuff. I don't want to spout off and be wrong. I hate it when I do that. I go home and listen to the show and go, oh my God, I didn't mean to say that. But I think it's something like some kind of stuff that Israel wanted that they voted against in the UN or something like that. Anyway, when we do the show, I'll be up on it and we'll talk about it. But and also hope I have a friend who on Twitter goes by the handle Field Marshal White. He's a South African. It's over there right now, and he said he'd be perfectly willing to call in and, you know, answer questions about the situation there from the perspective of a regular guy on the street. So
interesting.
Yeah. I think it would too. So hopefully we'll make that happen.
Yes. He's a very brilliant man. The guy, he really is.
Yeah.
When you see him, he looks like he's just a lumberjack or carpenter or mechanic, but he's not. He's really a scientist.
Yeah. And he's got a very, very meticulous and agile mind. Reading Psychopolitics in South Africa, it's amazing all the different data that he just, that every paragraph is full of, and not in a boring way, but there's all so much precise data, and it's looked at from so many different angles to come to the conclusions that he did. And his conclusions were absolutely correct. This isn't a brand new book, and everything that he talked about in that book,
it's coming true right now.
Yeah, absolutely. But anyway, back to Hollow Earth. You brought up a fiction book about a guy named Dorfin.
The name of the book is Eddie Dorpa.
Dorpa. Okay.
And if you want an introduction to the Hollow Earth theory, this little novel touches on just about every one of them.
Yeah.
This is about a Freemason. Just your background on it. It's about a Freemason who told the secret back in the early 1800s.
Uh-huh.
Named Harry Morgan. The guy who was sent down into the Hollow Earth for his punishment was Harry Morgan, or Henry Morgan. That's Harry Morgan.
Sent down there
as his punishment, because he had to go down and learn what was going to happen to the world and all that stuff as time goes by.
Yeah, but punished by the Masons, right?
Yes, but they, okay, on the top of the, on the planet, as far as the world was concerned, he was dead.
Yeah.
He really wasn't dead. He was down in this book. But he made his travels through there and back up, and quite a tale to tell. It's the most interesting book I've ever read on the subject.
Right.
But like I said, it's just a fiction novel.
Yeah.
But it's, to me, it was better than Journey to the Center of the Earth.
Right.
Eddie Dorpa backwards is Aphrodite.
Ah, okay, gotcha.
That's the hint.
Yeah.
And you're going to find out that this hollow earth thing is probably much more real than you ever dream of if you study it.
Yeah.
Because there's, you know, we went back to David H. Lewis and the Hidden Mysteries of the Pyramid. There were underground train stations under the pyramid that he found.
Absolutely. Right, right. Tunnels were caved in where there was no way to go see.
He wrote
where
a second book called Subterranean Cities.
Yeah.
He has one for underwater city. Water's under the ocean.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
I mean, cities under the ocean.
Yeah, I think one of our very first shows, absolutely. One of our first shows, one of our first really good ones was Mysteries of the Pyramid, of course, which is where basically you get the name for HiddenMysteries.com and Hidden Mysteries Radio. That's written by Lewis as well. So people can go listen to that one. That was a really interesting episode.
We introduced the book by Brinsley Laporte Trench, who was finding Atlantis inside the hollow earth.
Right.
So the hollow earth theory is not something just to cast aside lightly as bullshit. You really need to take a second look at it. Whether it's a full hollow earth like some of them describe, we don't know. Or it's just subterranean cities in a massive scale compared to what we've ever thought they could be. When we found out our own government is building them. So if they're building them now, and civilizations in their past built things like the pyramids of South America and in Egypt, they were building underground stuff in an even bigger scale.
Yeah.
The Hopi Indians think they came out, or believe their origin genesis is they came out from the inner earth. That their ancestors had been taken down there for protection from the floods. And generations later, they were reintroduced to the earth through, I think it's the Four Corners area. The Hopi were released back up by the Anasazi.
Right. Well, now one thing that you touched on earlier in the show, you said that perhaps all the planets are hollow.
That's correct. Yes, John Lopper.
And there's some science behind that. Could you?
Well, it's science of concentricity.
Uh-huh.
That whenever something is flowing, the concentrics. Have you ever been to Six Flags and you see that thing and it sucks you to the outside of the edge of the wall?
Yeah, the barrel, yeah.
That is the centrifugal force. It is probably causing a hollow planet.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
That's the theory behind it.
Well, and I guess with the planet being hollow and spinning like that, I guess if you think about that, you know, the ride that Ghost is talking about, I don't know if they still have it at Six Flags or not. I haven't been to Six Flags in 30 years, but or longer than that, actually. But it was like a great big
barrel.
It looked like it was made to look like, you know, like the old water towers that people would have beside
Petticoat Junction.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah. And you get down in it and there was a floor in it and it's perfectly round, and everybody inside it has to back up to the wall and put their back against the wall. And they turn it on and it starts spinning. And once it gets spinning a certain speed, they drop the floor out from under your feet because you're stuck to the wall by centrifugal force. So that would kind of make sense.
And they claim that's the true gravity.
Right. Yeah. That's what I was saying. That's the conclusion I just jumped to. If the earth was hollow and you were inside it and the earth is spinning, that would pull you to the inside surface of the earth in the same way as that ride. So that's a good way to picture it mentally.
And science is never really able to describe or explain the center of this planet. No one's ever seen the center of this planet. How can they just, you know for sure that it's a full of molten lead or whatever they think it is?
Well, it's theoretical, isn't it?
You know, it could be egg fluff for all I know. It could be scrambled eggs.
Right, right.
You know, they haven't seen the inside of the moon either. Haven't seen the inside of Venus.
Well, if they thought that the center of the earth was solid gold or solid crude oil, we'd have found out.
The mantle's 30 miles deep, and they can't even get through a mile or two of drilling an oil well.
Right. Well, Also, another interesting aspect is, was it Bird who, when he wrote about going into the Hollow Earth, that he said he saw species of dinosaurs and dodo birds and all kinds of extinct animals like that down there?
I think it was him. There's also another one, he was Norwegian, I think he was, that got stranded up there on in his ship about probably the late 1800s, maybe the middle 1800s.
Uh-huh.
We carry his book also.
Yeah. Now, are there... it would kind of make sense that you'd go to the inner earth and you'd see all these extinct species, especially like the dinosaurs, because supposedly, I guess, still the most accepted theory of what happened to the dinosaurs was kind of the comet hits the earth and all this stuff. Well, they would have been, the ones on the inside would have been protected from all that.
See, all that's theory. But
right, right. Yeah, absolutely.
They don't know for a fact that something hit this planet. Something affected it probably in the past.
Right. Right. Well, I mean, it's a theory that one way or the other, something caused all this dust to go up into the air, you know.
I know the story, and I'm sure something hit the earth there where the Lake Titicaca is.
Right.
But that's not the only theory out there. You know, Velikovsky came out with theories that planet Venus one kind came by like a blazing asteroid or something. And
yeah.
It's went by Mars first, and it sucked all the water off of Mars, or what it could,
mm-hmm.
because the difference in gravity between the two bodies.
Right,
Venus was larger; it got the water. It came back to the Earth, and it was passing. Earth was larger; it sucked the water right back off of Venus as it went past.
Huh.
Then Venus got trapped in its orbit.
Didn't Tesla say that's where he was from?
Yes.
I wonder if he enjoyed the sulfuric acid rain that they claim is constantly pouring down on Venus.
You know, they keep saying that the sun is hot.
Mm-hmm.
Then why is it when the astronauts are out there in the space, they're not worried about burning up, they're worried about freezing to death?
What they say is because it's a vacuum out there.
And heat cannot transfer through a vacuum.
I don't know.
Therefore, the sun cannot be heating the Earth.
Right. Well, so... Okay.
Well, is that right?
I guess it could be. So,
how could it be? If heat cannot transfer through a vacuum, the sun cannot possibly be heating up this planet.
Right. I don't know.
That tells you the planet itself determines whether it's livable or not, not the sun.
Well, isn't what they say is that the solar rays travel across space, and when they come into our atmosphere, heat it up or something like that?
Well, that's what they... They claim the sun gets trapped in our atmosphere and heats it up, warms it up to the right temperature.
Right.
But is it just radiation? If it's just radiation, then any planet would be inhabitable because it doesn't take its heat from the sun.
Yeah.
Its heat would be determined by its own makeup.
Yeah. Well, so.
That's different because now you're talking about some Hollow Earth stuff that changes the whole concept of what we normally think of.
Right. So in this scenario, what you would have is what you said earlier, a sun in the middle of the earth. And I guess that sun in the middle of the earth would be what produces geothermal heat, which is what regulates the temperature in the atmosphere. But then, of course, also you run across the problem of, well, if that's the case, then why do we have seasons and why is the temperature different? And, the further from the equator you get, the cooler it is, that kind of thing.
But you cannot get, like I say, but you cannot get heat from a star.
Right.
So the sun is not the explanation. Those astronauts are not afraid of burning up.
No, I know they're not. But, the cold of space is a line that you read about 1,000 times if you read science fiction.
You think, if that sun is heating this planet up, the closer to the sun, the hotter it would get. Well, if it's not traveling through the vacuum of space, the closer you get to the sun would make no difference to the heat.
Yeah, but like Mercury is a scorched little rock, they say, because it's so close to the sun.
But if heat cannot travel through the space to get to Mercury, how did it get hot?
I don't know.
Was it just radiation burning up, or was it actually heat?
Well, I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know either. I'm just saying this Hollow Earth, it goes a lot to explaining some of these things in a different light.
Yeah. Well, you know, we certainly would be extremely egotistical and short-sighted to think that all the wonderful scientific discoveries and theories that we have now are ironclad and explain everything.
Well, if we had true scientists governing everything, we'd still be looking for Helen of Troy.
Yeah.
But somebody found Troy in spite of the scientists.
They found Troy, that's right. But what I was going to say is, you know, it hasn't been all that long, historically speaking, since they threw Galileo in prison for saying that the Earth revolves around the sun and not the other way around.
Well, the biggest problem would be the interpretation of what non-scientists say scientists say, too.
Yeah.
How many times have you heard the preachers badmouth Darwin because Darwin preached that we came from apes?
Right.
Well, Darwin never said that.
No, he said we and apes have a common ancestor.
Yes, and that's a whole different ballgame.
It is, yeah.
So the preachers were lying, right?
Well, they were certainly incorrect.
No, they were lying.
Well, the ones who knew better, yeah.
They all should know better. They're getting paid to know better.
Well, they should know better, yeah.
They're getting paid. They're taking the big bucks.
They are that.
They don't work for a living.
Most of them don't, know.
Can't be called being a preacher of work.
No, I mean, I know some preachers who actually have a job during the week and preach at a little bitty church somewhere on the weekend, you know.
But that's been my contention with preachers all along is, why should you pay them to lie when you pay them to tell you the truth?
Well.
So the best thing would be not to pay them at all.
I think a lot of people are paying them to lie to them because what they're basically doing is they're purposely paying them to not tell the truth because they don't want to hear it.
You know the story of Jesus and how this is a Christian theme, even though it's not really in the New Testament at all, that Jesus went to the center of the earth. He went into the belly of the whale. He went into the center of the earth.
During the 3 days.
Delivered the captives from hell.
This is during the 3 days between the time that he died on the cross and rose from the dead.
None of that's in the Bible.
Right. It's in the Apocrypha, isn't it?
In some apocryphal books that he did it. But he went down into the inner earth to hell and set the captives free. Now, if they were in hell, why were they in hell? He let the bad guys free? That don't sound very smart.
That is an odd one. Well,
we don't ask questions. You just believe blindly what that damn preacher says.
What they said when I went to church was that it was like Jesus said in the story of Lazarus, that there was the hell down there and that there was the paradise down there that were separated by a gulf. Like, and remember the story, Lazarus and the rich man.
That's pure Greek there.
And, well, Lazarus and the rich man died, and the rich man went to the hell part, and Lazarus went to the paradise part, and the rich man in hell said, Lazarus, please dip your finger in water and touch it to my tongue. And he said, well, I would, but the gulf separates us. And yeah, that is very Greek. Is that from Luke? Because, you know, I believe it's Luke is the book where it's just,
it's one statement about him, as in the belly of the whale, as in the days of Jonah.
Yeah. But well, anyway, what I was getting to trying to get to with that yarn that I just told was that what they taught, at least at the churches I went to, and of course this, they could have just been taking this right off the top of their head. I don't know if it was actual Baptist church doctrine or what, but he went down there and took the good guys out of the paradise part up to heaven, and he also built the lake of fire.
Let me tell you something. They're making this shit up because that ain't even in the apocryphal
part. Right, and also during that 3 days was when he built the lake of fire to get it all good and ready for when he comes back to yank all those people out of and chunk them in there.
The inner earth may be part of this heavenly thing that they're talking about, but you know these Christians are all sitting back waiting for the harvest. God's going to come back and he's going to harvest the good ones. What are you when you become a part of the harvest?
A crop.
Your vittles.
Right, right.
I'm sorry. I think I'll pass on that damn harvest thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I'll stick down here.
Well, it's like the story of the wheat and the chaff.
We are chattel.
Yeah, but it's like the story of the wheat and the wheat and the chaff, you know, the chaff being the weeds and all that crap. And he said, you know, you separate the wheat from the chaff, and what do you do with the chaff? You throw it in a furnace and burn it up. Well, nobody asked, what do you do with the wheat? You burn eat it. You know? So,
people don't think ahead of what they're saying.
Yeah.
You tell some little kid that they're going to be tomorrow's dinner, it's pretty stupid.
I guess so, yeah. Well, that's kind of like from Grimm's Fairy Tales, isn't it? There's always some old witch that wanted to fatten up a kid to eat it.
But you have, like I say, you will find a lot of hollow references throughout the Old Testament.
Yeah.
A little bit there in the New.
Right, right. Any of them off the top of your head?
We just talked about the one about in Days of Jonas.
Right, right.
Which means, as in the days of Jonas, where did Jonas go for 3 days?
Belly of a whale.
Uh-huh.
You mean Jonah?
It says Jonah's in the New Testament.
Oh, does it? Okay. Yes. Oh, yeah, because it's in Greek and Latin. Yeah. Yeah.
Greek and Hebrew.
Well, there's some Latin, too, isn't there? Oh, okay. Well, never mind.
And it was written in Latin originally.
Okay.
Translated from out of Greek into Latin.
Yeah, Greek, even though Latin was the Roman language and it was a universal language, too, the real universal language, especially among scribes, was Greek.
Well, Greek was one of the seven sacred languages.
Yeah. Is Latin one of them?
No.
What are they?
I don't know all of them, but I just know that the Aramaic is one and Hebrew is one and Greek is one.
Yeah.
I'm sure Sanskrit was probably one.
Right. So it's all Middle Eastern stuff we're talking about.
Middle Eastern and Indian.
Yeah. Well, so you've got all these references in the Bible, the hollow earth.
You also got the theory of Enoch going to live inside the hollow earth, not just disappearing from the planet.
Right. Yeah. We talked about
that.
He
went to the kings of the, he went to the north.
We talked about that then. And you mentioned during the break that there's a theory that that's where Atlantis was or is.
Well, yeah, I was talking about this, the book written by Lepore Trench,
mm-hmm.
Finding Atlantis in the Hollow Earth.
Right, right. You sell that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Well, you're going to have a lot of book links to post tonight.
Yeah, if we can get them up, we will.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, if the internet will work with us. Well, Ghost, you want to take one more break and come back?
Sure.
All right. So we don't want to deprive the listeners of all the commercials they can possibly want.
Oh, we got to let them have all they can have.
Yeah, that's right. So everybody, we'll see you in about 2 minutes.
Truth seekers and freedom loving Texans, HiddenMysteries.com is the place to find those hard to locate books for your research. HiddenMysteries.com has the largest and most diverse knowledge based selection on the internet today. Be sure and visit HiddenMysteries.org for over 12,000 free articles for truth seekers. Visit HiddenMysteries.com today or call 903-876-3256 for a free catalog.
Okay, ready for this final segment, Ghost?
I'm ready.
Yeah. Ghost and I are both really ready to shut this thing down. Ghost has been taking, allergy medication or something like that, and so have I. And what I was talking about earlier about how this crap comes back on me, boy, it sure did in the last segment. I was nodding off during the last segment. So if my speech was slow or I wasn't thinking, wasn't making cogent points, you'll have to forgive me or not. But anyway, so Ghost, where were we?
We were still inside the hollow earth, but
yeah,
we crept back into outer space to try to understand the theory a little more.
Right. Yeah. We were talking about how gravity would work inside a spinning hollow earth.
And how the hollow earth planet theory works on all planets. And we ventured off into the hot sun's theory that goes with it too.
Right. Right. And the other planets would be that way. The reason that they would be hollow like that in the first place is because of the centrifugal force of the spinning world. We got off on talking about how, or started anyway, how a lot of this stuff runs counter to the science we know now that we're taught in school and all that. And not to say that we're discounting that entirely or whatever.
No, we're just opening up new ideas of thought.
Right, but the thing is that you always have to remember, in order to keep your mind open, is that 500 years ago, those people thought, and we're probably correct, you know, at least the advanced civilizations.
That the earth was flat.
No, that, well, that too, but I mean that, that they were the most advanced, knowledgeable people on earth and that all their theories were correct. And I mean, we're talking about people now. I don't know if they were still believing in flat earth 500 years ago, but we're talking about people who thought, that the sun and stars and everything rotated around the world. We're talking about people who believed that if you had a fever, it meant you had too much blood.
And the earth was the center of the universe.
Right. Exactly. And, so, you know, always everything that, is considered to be an absolute established rock solid fact, it never really is. You always have to consider that at some point in the future, they're going to discover that for whatever reason, that theory was completely wrong. And here's the new one. And the best corollary for that is one that I always say from my own life. You know, when I look back on when I was younger, I always say, man, I was stupid then. And I'll get a little bit older and look back on that period when I was younger and I go, yeah, I was stupid then too. So if I'm going to be smart about it, then I have to realize I'm stupid now and don't know a whole lot of things. You know,
what you watch for is what they did to Zechariah Sitchin.
What did they do to him?
Well, he went into the Sumerian text and translated it, got the whole story of Enki and Enlil and Ea and all. Yeah, I forgot her, the lady's name. Anyway, the gods of ancient Sumeria, which were in their views more extraterrestrial than gods. And he translated all that stuff and presented his findings to the world. They couldn't upset his findings enough to throw him off his game. So they attacked his translation, his translating ability.
Right.
Which they had never attempted to do themselves.
Right.
So when they started attacking something other than the story, other than the topic of the theory, you know, they don't have a clue.
Right.
Zechariah Sitchin has been proven right more than wrong.
Sure, sure.
And he believed in UFOs because he saw one.
Yeah. Well, that'll make a believer out of it.
Yeah. He saw one that was sitting on the ground in the Mount Sinai desert.
Right. What, like a saucer?
Yes.
Wow. Well, you know, when I saw the one UFO that I've seen, I became a believer.
Well, he would have no problem with the hollow earth idea because he's been into the Temple Mountain, knows how many stories below that thing there is. It goes.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have to say, I know people act like it's crazy and all, some of the stuff we talk about on the Wednesday show, but things like UFOs and the hollow earth, there's a lot more evidence for that than stuff that everybody just accepts as fact, like the Holocaust.
Yeah, or electricity.
Yeah. Well, at least the proof of electricity is when you flick the switch. Well,
we got the absurd idea that Edison created electricity for us, and he even created the light bulb.
Oh.
And it's not true.
Well, electricity is a natural force.
It was harnessed basically by Tesla.
Well, absolutely, yeah. And he had a lot better system, too. He had the
AC.
Broadcast DC.
Yeah, he had a broadcast system he wanted to develop.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. But he wanted everything to be DC, which would have been a whole lot safer.
No, he was the AC man.
I thought Edison was the AC man.
Edison was the DC man.
Okay.
Edison lost.
Oh, okay.
Tesla won. His Tesla generators running the Niagara Falls.
Yeah.
Well, AC.
Okay.
But actually, Edison won for a long time because Texas even had 12-volt systems out in the country areas. Even up in Lyndon Johnson's day.
Now, were those systems self-contained or were they run along lines and stuff?
Well, they were both.
Okay.
A lot of them were self-contained, like on a farm.
Yeah.
But we know in Fort Worth, they still had a 12-volt Edison light bulb burning in about 20 years ago when they carefully dismantled the building and kept power to the light bulb. They was afraid if it ever went off, it'd never come back on.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and the world's oldest light bulb, they do the same thing.
It's, now you're lucky to get one last 2 weeks.
I know, yeah, but they have one in California at a in a fire station that's over 100 years old.
Yeah, this is like that in Florida.
And they do the same. They say they never, ever turn the power off. But yeah, you know, when they first started making light bulbs, you had people trying to make the highest quality light bulb. And so, you know, you'd have the, and of course, back then, even the glass was like spun, blown glass and stuff. But they, many, many years ago, gave up on that and went to the process of purposely designing them to burn out quickly. And, you know, it's so bad now. When I buy these incandescent bug lights, the only thing that makes them bug lights is that the bulb is tinted yellow. I buy those and put them outside the house, and sometimes they'll all be burned out in a week or two, every one of them.
Well, you know, they've outlawed incandescent bulbs. Does that mean all the stoplights quit working now?
I don't know.
They're all incandescent.
Right.
The older ones.
But the thing is, they're not outlawed in Texas. Texas passed some kind of law saying, no, you can sell them here, and you can go into Walmart right now and buy them. I bought them yesterday.
You ever wonder why the incandescent bulbs in a stoplight last so long compared to what you get in your house?
Is it because they're built to last?
No.
No, what is it?
Nobody knows the secrets.
Oh.
So, no, this is the lost technology this world is facing.
Yeah.
They're 130 volt bulbs.
Yeah.
You put them on a 120 volt system, you lose 10% brightness, but they last forever.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I wonder why, they don't just, manufacture most of our electronic stuff to be 130 volt. Well, that question answers itself. They want it to go bad.
That's right. They want to give you 110 and hope you put 120 to it.
Yeah. Well, you know, they engineer the breakdowns into most of the stuff they sell you now. Everything from light bulbs to cars. Yeah. You know,
I don't have a real car anymore, just got rolling trash.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean compared to what the metal they no longer use and the plastics
right.
Replace everything that was decent.
Oh yeah, well, you know, like the new Ford F-150, and this, it may be a good thing, I don't know, it's going to have to be watched and see how it works out. But the new F-150, the entire body is aluminum instead of steel.
You don't want to have the paint stick to it.
Well, the thing I wonder about on that is, you know, all the body men on Earth who are used to working with steel, are they going to be expected to straighten out that aluminum and repaint it? Or, since it's aluminum, is the standard practice going to be just take every quarter panel that's damaged and remove it and send it off to be recycled and put a new one on? I mean,
that would make more sense.
The picture I have in my head about it is that they would, or, you know, you've got a number code for the precise color of paint, and you order it from the factory and it comes painted, and then you put it on.
I would like to see a crash dinner between a old steel pickup and one of those.
Well, I think one of the things that they're saying is that these are supposedly safer than the steel ones because of the way that the aluminum bends.
Well, it could be. I just like to see the live test on TV.
But now the frame and all is still a big, massive steel frame. It's just the body that's aluminum.
I'm not worried about that body. I'm worried about the body behind the wheel.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, yeah, but on something as big and tough as a full size pickup, if you got a big steel frame, you're going to be doing most of the damage to whatever you hit. But yeah, I would be worried about that too. But you know, they do have a lot of technology in the cars now that really helps that stuff. All the airbags and so forth. The airbags can like cut your head off, but for the most part, they save people.
And we need to do is start picking out one of these books and reading a very interesting part of. I remember Gene Scott reading books on his TV show.
Yeah.
One of the most interesting shows he ever did. And leave you hanging.
Yeah. Now, Gene Scott, was that the guy out of California?
Yes.
Okay. The one who he would always like, he always had this long-haired crazy guy who would come on there for everybody to boo, and he'd say, "Don't talk to my audience like that." That guy. I think I've seen some of his YouTube videos. I never was aware of his show when it was new.
Well, he was one of the few preachers that would tell like it was.
Oh,
like
he was a preacher. Okay, yes. Gotcha. Yeah,
he told me that one day he told the scam about Oral Roberts University and how that crap worked.
Yeah,
how he would raise money to build a building, and everybody sent in all his money to build a new building. He put that money in his pocket when I borrowed the money to build the building.
Right. Well, Oral was really something. You know, remember, he was the guy who
the 90-foot Jesus.
Yeah. Well, he had that big tower at the Oral Roberts University. He had that. It's kind of like a mini version of the Seattle Tower, and he had an office up in that. Well, the reason that he had that tower is God told him to build it like that because he could go up into God said if he built it exactly this way and put his office in there, that God would come and talk to him personally face to face, and he often did. And one of the last things that God told him was is that he better get his ass out there at that pulpit and tell the world that if he doesn't receive $10 million by a certain date, which I think was like something like 3 months, then God was going to kill him.
That's why I love those licenses, those dumper stickers. Lord.
Yeah.
Let Oral Roberts die.
Right. Well, and that's what people wanted to happen too, because coming up on the last day of the thing, seemed like he'd still only raised something like $3 million. And then they said an anonymous individual donor kicked in the rest. And in other words, Oral said, "Okay, I'll cover it," or whatever, you know.
Anybody uses chicken guts and calls it cancer curing, I got a problem.
Oh,
now.
Did he do that too?
He was a charlatan from day one.
Well, I know he got booted out and banned from entering again. Wasn't it Australia? Because he went down there and when he was down there preaching, he was taking money from people claiming he could raise the dead like Jesus or something.
The only thing dead he raised was his voice.
Yeah. He was a really good example of the just almost the worst kind of those shyster, money grubbing televangelists.
Worse than Reverend Abernathy?
Well, I don't know. It may be because of this funk that has descended across my brain, but I recognize the name, but I can't picture Abernathy right now. But you know what? I have a story just like this from my family, and I've heard it from so many other people, where grandma or great grandma or whoever would pass away, and she was always having to borrow money, or not borrow, or, you know, ask for money from the kids or grandkids or whatever to pay for her medicine and stuff. And then grandma dies, and they go and they clean out the house and they find a box, some giant box full of receipts for donations to Oral Roberts. And that's why Granny didn't have any money for her medicine, was because Oral Roberts was telling her that if she would just send it to him, that she'd get better.
I know my dad was listening to a preacher one night that was selling wallets. You buy this wallet, it's called a faith wallet.
Yeah.
You buy that faith wallet and you never have to worry about money again.
Yeah.
My dad said, "Why don't he just use it?"
Right. Well, why does it?
Instead of selling wallets, why don't you just use the wallet you got?
Well, why not just keep one and give away the rest?
Because shyster and preacher and Christianity is all one and the same.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I wish I could remember the guy's name right now. But one of the biggest shyster things anybody ever saw, it was either 60 Minutes or 2020, back in the 80s, did a sting on this guy. He was one of these guys who would come around to your town and fill up, like he'd come to Dallas and fill up, maybe not Reunion Arena, but maybe Tarrant County Convention Center.
Benny Hinn?
No. He was a faith healer. And
Benny Hinn?
No, it's not. I know who Benny Hinn is. He did one with the foreign, and he's whatever the hell he is.
He's Palestinian.
And he's got one of the weirdest comb overs. His comb over makes Trump look like, you know, he's got a bushy head of hair or something. But anyhow,
with the holy bad breath.
Yeah, but what this guy would do was part of his act was that he knew everything about you. He'd put his hand up to his head and he'd say, "As a Lois Spencer, she's in here. The Lord's telling me the name Lois Spencer." And they, here I am. "Oh yeah, honey, the Lord tells me you've got terrible hemorrhoids." "Oh yes, Lord," you know. And then he'd say,
"You're talking about W. V. Grant Jr. in Dallas, Texas."
No, I don't. This guy was from California, I think. But what the sting was, is that they went and as people would come in, they would have them fill out a card, like, you know, "Hey, fill out this card so that preacher man knows who you are and what it is you need help with." And they'd fill out the card and it would ask their name and address and what was wrong with them and how old they were and all this stuff. And they'd fill it out and put it in a little box as they came in. Well, this guy had a little remote speaker earplug in his ear, radio, and his wife is over by the sound man, and she's reading the cards off to him. Well, they went and they just took like a police scanner up there with them and they recorded the thing. Well, of course, this guy was drummed out of the profession from making money for quite some time. And then a few years back, I noticed, whatever channel it is that has Benny Hinn and John Hagee and all those guys, there he is with a show and he's faith healing again. How do people fall for this stuff?
I don't have any clue. I've never really seen anybody healed.
Well, here's the thing that I always ask people when they bring up.
I have seen some shills.
Yeah. When people bring up the faith healer thing, I always ask them, how come they can't heal an amputee? You never see them heal an amputee. It's always somebody with an upset stomach or or the
why
heart.
Why is it? Why is it the victim? Why is it the sickie or whoever's the ailing? It's his faith that heals and not the healer.
Yeah.
But in the Old New Testament, it was the disciples and Jesus who healed because of their faith, not because of the sick person. That sick person didn't know anything about it.
Right.
Oh, we mustn't do it like the New Testament. We have to do it our way, huh?
Well,
I haven't seen any of these preachers go out and heal.
I've never seen.
So obviously they don't believe.
I've never seen.
They don't believe what they're preaching.
I've never seen anything like that. And what's really incredible about it is the mass psychosis that the people watching this stuff have, because, you know, you got a lot of these guys, and I think this guy was one of them, but Benny Hinn that you brought up, he's really big on this, where they'll walk up and grab your forehead and push you, and they got these people behind you to catch you when you fall over, and people are psyching themselves into doing that. When, if you watch this part of the psychosis, he'll get these old women, like women in their late 80s and 90s and all, who can barely move around. They're all hunched over with arthritis and they got on a walker and everything, and he'll tell them, "Walk without that walker, honey. Come on, do it." And he'll snatch that walker out from under them, and they just shaking and struggling. And oftentimes will start to fall, and the catcher guys will stop them from falling. And everybody's watching this, and they're all cheering, "Oh, Lord, look, he healed her.
Lying.
And lying to themselves. It's kind of like the whole tongue-speaking thing. I've never witnessed it with my own eyes. I've seen it on a couple of, I've seen like Tilton do it on TV and stuff like that, but I've never been like in a church where they speak tongues, though I have seen it on videos. But that's got to be some kind of this self hypnosis stuff too. It somehow, if you can mind screw yourself
and allow demons in,
yeah,
they don't know what's coming in to speak through them.
Right.
They're opening themselves up for demonology.
Well, yeah.
Demon infestation.
One would think. I mean, if playing with
my mother-in-law was one of those tongue talkers. She was definitely demon infested.
Was she? Well, was it just the mother-in-law or did it run in the family?
It ran in her dad and all the rest of them.
Well, how about the wife?
Yeah, she got it too.
That's what I was getting at. Well, it's been a real interesting show, and once again, if during certain parts of this show I got a little bit boring or a little slow in my delivery, I apologize for that. Hopefully we'll be feeling better Friday night.
That's why I had to talk about dumb preachers. That always brightens his day.
Yeah, it does. But anyhow, we told them enough that it should whet their appetite for, you know, to learn more about Hollow Earth if they're ever going to be interested in it. And Ghost is going to post a lot of really good books on the topic.
Next week we might do one on ghosts. It's the Halloween season.
Oh, yeah, it is Halloween season. So maybe ghosts. And we could not necessarily just limit it to ghosts. We could
throw apparitions, huh?
Yeah, we could throw the lycanthropes and vampires and all that
shadow
stuff. Shadow people. We've done shadow people.
Witches.
Witches, yeah. We were talking about those earlier. Yeah. Maybe I could retell that little anecdote that I told you on that show. Well, anyway, so everybody check us out Friday. We truly appreciate you coming and listening to us. And anything else, Ghost?
No, I wish I had the funds and the health to go search out some of the Hollow Earth stuff myself.
Right, right.
I would love to.
I wish we had the funds just to upgrade our equipment here. Tonight was another one of those nights where that awful hum that has gotten that sometimes I haven't noticed that got stuck in the show has happened 3 or 4 times, and we've had to stop and re-record segments a couple of times.
It's humming now?
No, not humming. No, we have managed to, knock wood. If it doesn't happen before we sign off here in about 30 seconds, we've managed to have a hum-free show.
Well, good night, Gracie.
Good night, Gracie. Everybody come back Friday.